Well, I would appreciate a little interest in your prayers this morning. I know it's the inspiration of the Almighty that gives life to things and makes things alive. And I have some things in my heart that I feel like the Lord's been talking with us about. Is that better? We spoke a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, about prayer. And I feel like the Lord's given us a little enlargement about that and about finding a place with the Lord that is real special. I feel inadequate to give the message that I feel like the Lord's given me. So I would like the Lord to enlarge that. I think about the places that the Lord, the way He wants to deal with us in our lives and the blessing that He wants to be. And He has thoughts about that and He longs for that. And I would this morning that every one of us would, from the words of the Lord, be inspired in our hearts to find a place with God that has the strength, the grace, the power, the glory of God that He wants to give us in our lives. When we look in Exodus 33 and 11, I want to read here a little account of Moses and his dealings, God's dealings with Moses and Moses with the Lord. And it says here, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend." That'd be something, wouldn't it? I don't think it's altogether so much different for us today. Maybe we don't hear His voice audibly, and maybe Moses did. But I will tell you, He speaks our language just like He spoke Moses' language. And He wants to speak to you and I, you and me, just like He did with Moses here. I hope this morning that through the readings of the Scriptures and the inspiration of the Lord, that we can be inspired that God wants to speak to us. He says here, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me." Now Moses keenly felt his inadequacy, more keenly than the Lord wanted him to feel. "Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. I got to have your presence to go into the places you want me to go. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name." Do you know the Lord knows us by name too? And he said, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." Now Moses asked God, I want to see your glory. And he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Do you know this morning that there is a place by the Lord that He wants to reveal Himself to us? Our humanity, our human bodies and our mind and eyes and all, we can't take in God that made the heavens and the earth. We can't take in all of that, but we can see a little part of Him, and we can behold a little part of God in our life. And He said, there's a place by me. And I want to talk about that place this morning, that you be there in that place, and I'll hide you in a cleft of the rock, and I'll pass by. And I want to ask you something this morning. Have you ever felt the presence of the Lord? I know some haven't, probably some have felt it in conviction and things. But you know, the Lord is very real. The God of heaven is very real. And He wants to be real to us. And He wants to put us in a place where He can reveal Himself to us. Now I want to look over at Psalms 91. And I know I'm reading quite a bit here. A lot more than normal, some long passages. But I think there's some things for us to get as we read through these things. Psalms 91 and 1 through 9. The psalmist says, and I believe this was David, he says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, you know, I believe David, I think this was a psalm of David as I understand it, as I've read a little. But, you know, he says, He shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The ones that dwell in the secret place of the Most High. You know, I remember when my heart started longing to know God and to have His Spirit living in my soul. I knew that I didn't. I knew that I didn't know the Lord like I wanted to know God. I knew that I wasn't filled with His Spirit. But there came a longing in my heart for that. As I beheld the saints and different ones and I saw the Lord working, I wanted that too. Do you know this morning, I asked the Lord to help us, because I don't want this to seem like some pie in the sky type of thing that we look at and we think, well, yeah, some people, you know, folks, the Lord wants us all to know Him. And He wants us all to find that secret place in our life. That secret place is not a place where we forever dwell in some land of nothing ever phases us. We don't have any human feelings anymore. We never feel down anymore. Folks, we are in this body. And just as Jesus and Paul and the apostles and all of them felt things that came to them, we're going to feel things too. And our feelings are going to be up sometimes and down sometimes. But I will tell you, there is a rock and there is a place by the Lord that He wants to lead us into until we know the preciousness of God. In the second verse here, I want to tell you what, then the Psalms here, the verses begin to tell about what happens in this secret place. He says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. You know, surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. I see somebody here that some things had been revealed to. I see someone here that their heart trusted in God. God is going to be my refuge. He's going to be my fortress when I'm attacked. He's going to be my place that I run into. He's going to be that one that delivers me. He's going to be the one that I come to when the pestilence and the problems are everywhere, and that I can go to. This psalmist, I believe, had some things revealed to him. And I don't know who all was speaking here. The old rabbins or whoever believed that this was something between David and Solomon and God, and they were all speaking some of these verses. But I take it as for what it is. It's the word of God to us. And so it says, "Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked." Now, you know, it tells something there of a battle and of things happening. And that happens to us too, doesn't it? But the psalmist here says that 1,000 is going to fall at your right side, at thy side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it won't come near thee. This is he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. And so this morning, I just want to encourage us that God wants us to come into the place where we know him and where he becomes this to us. And we can say with the psalmist, 1,000 shall fall at the side, and 10,000. But you know what? I believe God's going to keep me. You know, because we know the Lord, don't we? Because we know his spirit, his voice, his power, his comfort, his strength, what he delivers us out of and takes us into. There is a place by me. He told Moses, "You come over here and I'll show you my glory. You know, I'll show you some things." Do you know this morning, I Isaiah said, "Lord, who hath believed our report?" I trust this morning that we will believe in our hearts that there is a place in the presence of God where we can live this life without reproach, without sin in our life, and go to heaven, where we can find sweetness when the battle comes and we feel like responding in an ugly way. And we go to this place and the Lord transforms us. And we find him to be what the psalmist says. You know, I think this psalmist was overwhelmed with the knowledge and security of what God was to him. And so I trust this morning that we too can tell the Lord, "Lord, show me your glory." Is that wrong to tell the Lord that? "Lord, show me your glory." I believe the Lord will do that. I remember when, I don't think he'd mind me telling because he's told it here. But Brother Dan Doolittle, right over here, Brother Michael Smith had preached a message on the glory of God. And Brother Dan told me after that message, he said, "I'm going for that glory." And do you know, he did. And he started humbling himself. And God told him, he said, "You got way too much of Dan on hand." And he had to start taking care of some things. He had to go back hundreds of miles and apologize for some things. You know, not that he was living wicked, but there was flesh there. And you know, the Lord wants to bring us to a place too, where there's a place by him, where he can speak his mind to you and me, where he can share with us his strength, where we can believe and know, "I trust in my God, and my God will take care of me. I don't know how or when or what, but he will. He'll take care of us this morning, will he not?" I want to read in Luke, the 4th chapter, because I pray that the Lord would help us to put this in proper context and proper a way that is true and that works for you and I. In 4 and 1 of Luke, it says, and again I'm going to do a little reading here. This is Jesus' experience when he went into the desert to be tempted of the devil. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, now you notice he was full of the Holy Ghost. But it says, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Now, I want to think about this for a moment. Jesus was led into this place, and there was nothing wrong with Jesus. But I will tell you, he was led into a place, and Satan began to besiege him. And I believe this morning, and I'm just sharing my experience, and if it's odd, why count it so. But I have found that the closer you come to the Lord, folks, we are in a real battle. We have a real enemy, and he's real, and he doesn't like us coming close to the Lord. And you might think, well, I'm seeking the Lord. Why would anything bad happen? I want to tell you something. I have found over and over again that the closer you get to the Lord working or the Lord doing something or to him, the more Satan is going to fight you. I found it to be so. I remember one night when I woke up and I felt like I needed to go out and pray. And I went out to the living room, and I'm telling you, it was like Apollyon. Satan attacked me with all the force that he had. One of the worst battles I've ever had. And tried to turn me back. Tried to take me out. Right there as I was seeking God. And you know, I began to pray and rebuke the devil and plead with the Lord. And this went on a little while. And I knew, Lord, I need your help. I'm trying to draw near to you, and I feel like you want me to pray. And I was praying and pleading with God. And do you know that after a little while, that all stopped? And the presence of the Lord began to visit me. One of the most real visits I've ever had. And he began to give me plain direction that I needed for the congregation, in fact. And he began to give me very plain direction in my life. And what I have found through many times of drawing near to the Lord, you want a message from the Lord? You want something from God to give to other people? Do you think Satan's not going to contest that many times? Maybe not every time, and there's many times that the Lord sometimes will just pour out, and it's like, wow, this would be nice every time. But you know what? Other times, you begin to seek the Lord, and Satan meets you there. I found it to be so. But what I've also found is that on the other side of that is the sweetest kinds of victory. The sweetest presence of the Lord, the sweetest victories, the greatest strengths, the messages that God gives at those times. Folks, it is very precious to me. And that's one reason I say I don't feel capable this morning of communicating this message. But I hope that the Lord will. I hope that He will talk to our souls and help us to know, just because you was attacked when you were seeking the Lord doesn't mean it's not for you or there's something wrong. You was getting close to something really good many times. I have found it to be so. And when you start getting close to something really good, folks, we're in a real battle. Don't think Satan's not going to bear his ugly head. And so as we read this of Jesus here, full of the Holy Ghost, doing God's will, moved by the Spirit of the Lord. And he went in this place, and he began to be... Now he was fasting and praying. Wouldn't that be a time where you just experience the glory of God? Wouldn't that be a time for that? Well, you'd think, you know, maybe our human mind might think so. But I want to tell you something. There was something fixing to happen here that was wonderful. And Jesus was fighting a fight that was very real. We too are going to fight that fight if we're going to find God to be really real in our life. There are going to be many times we're going to have to fight on through. And I have learned for myself that many times I come to prayer and say what? Satan. He meets us there too, doesn't he? Have you ever had that experience, folks? Or am I the only one? I'd say you have. But I want to tell you, fight through it. Be faithful to God through those times. Because on the other side of that battle, you find God. And you find His victories. You find the sweetness of His presence. You find the blessings that only He can give. Now let's look at Jesus' experience here as He was in the desert these 40 days. It says, "And the devil said unto Him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." You know, there are distractions that Satan brings. There are temptations he brings. He brings accusations. He said here to Jesus, we'll read in a minute, "If thou be the Son of God." Well, was he the Son of God? He knew he was the Son of God. And Jesus knew he was the Son of God. Didn't stop Satan from saying, "If you are, then do such and such." You know what? Satan will come in a myriad of ways. But Jesus gave him back solid. The Word of God says this. He did something quite different than Eve did when she was tempted, where she began to reason with Satan and began to believe him. "And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it." Is that true? I don't think Satan has all that power, does he? He was lying to Jesus. And so, but this was a very real thing. "If thou for thou wilt worship me, all shall be thine." And Jesus answered, would it have all been Jesus if he would have worshiped him? Can you imagine the degradation? Can you imagine what happens in people's lives when they fall for some ploy of the enemy? "And Jesus answered and said to him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest thou at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering and said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season." Wasn't the end of things, it sounds like. Well, in the end of the fight, of the battle, and Jesus returned. Listen to this. "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all." Do you know this morning that is the way battles are fought many times? Folks, if we want to win, we can win. But we're going to have to stand with the Lord and seek Him and search for Him and press on through when the enemy wants to come to us. I believe we can say like Moses, "Lord, Show me some things. Show me yourself. Show me your glory. Teach me your ways. Show me your paths. And you know, I believe the Lord will do that. And then we see here at the end where Jesus, it says he returned in the power of the Spirit. And the Lord began his ministry from there. It's a beautiful picture. I have found many times that the Lord wants to do things. He wants to work in special ways. Sometimes he has a special thing he wants to do. Don't think Satan don't catch on and fight that. Be willing to fight that until we receive from the Lord that victory, that joy and that glory that he wants to give to us. I was thinking about the old saying that we've heard so many times. Pray until you pray. I hope we know what that means. I hope all of us here, if we don't know, that we learn what that means. Pray until you pray. I know that not every day is going to be like this. But you know what? God wants us to know him and to be in touch with him and to walk with him continually. And he wants us to be able to pray and know the voice of the Lord and find favor with him. What's it mean to pray until you pray? Pray until you pierce through the clouds of doubt. Pray until you pierce through the needs that you have, the fears that you have, the questions that we have. Because folks, we're kind of all the same, aren't we? We just all need the Lord a whole lot. And so, you know, I have found that I need God, and I've got to have him. Rosie said not long ago, and I've experienced those times too. She said, I just haven't felt the Lord in a while, and it was really worrying her. And what, Lord, where are you? It worries me too when I get to feeling that way. Well, you know, this morning, the Lord wants to be very real to us. I hope in our hearts that we get a vision and a picture that God wants to be that in my life, in your life. I hope we get that picture this morning that God wants to be real like that. It comes through more than just a casual acquaintance. And I believe that is because it is the God of heaven. He's not a man as we are. He's the great God of heaven. And he wants to know us. He died for us. He sent his son to die for us. He deals with us with his spirit. He woos us. He comforts us. He answers prayer. And he draws us, doesn't he? That we might have that opportunity to know the Lord. Pray until you pray. You know, there was one in the Bible that came to the Lord and needed something. But there was so many people around, she could not get to him. But she just kept pressing her way through until she got to the place where she could reach down there and just touch his garment. And when she touched his garment, she was made completely well. We all know that story, don't we? We've heard that challenge. I want to put it to us again this morning. That we press through the things of life and that we know the Lord this morning. You know, there's many places that we could read. And it doesn't always take a great long prayer. The thief on the cross, he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And he was a sinner. And that was all he said. And the Lord heard that prayer because it came from his heart. It's not that we always have to pray and pray and pray. Some people will try to do that. I'm just going to pray and pray and pray. Folks, let's just respond to the Lord. He was right there. And so it was a time for him to humble himself, wasn't it? And he said, Lord, remember me. And you know what the Lord said? Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. I want to encourage us this morning to learn to pray. Jesus told his disciples, they asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. You know, prayers can be formal. I have heard of people reading out of a prayer book. That sounds very foreign to me. Because to me, prayer is something from my heart to the heart of God. I was in a very special need not long ago, and I came into a place where I had to do something for the Lord, and I was like, I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do. And I began to pray in my heart while I was standing there in the crowd, Lord, this one more time, will you come on me? Will you give me something? And you know, right there, the Lord started giving. And the Lord gave in a very special way at a little funeral that we had to deal with. It wasn't here. But you know, the Lord gave in a very special way. And I was feeling so needy before God. But I began to call out upon Him, and I thought, and I say this because of what happens at these times, but I remember Samson prayed at the end of his life. He said something to the effect, Lord, this one more time, come on me. And the Lord did. And you know, we just need Him, don't we? And the Lord wants us to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And He wants to be able to meet that need in a really special way. And we all have different needs in so many different ways. And you know, sometimes, different times I've prayed that, Lord, this one more time, I need You here. I need You in this situation. Lord, we got to pray for this person, and they're sick, and I don't know what to say, and the devil's fighting me, and what, Lord, I need You to come on us one more time. And you know, I've found that God will do that again and again. He will do that. But you know, sometimes we have to press through. We have to go on, and we have to go even if we don't feel like it. Even if the skies are black and the clouds are rolling. And we say, Lord, I need You one more time here. Folks, it's a very real thing. And if you've ever known the Lord in your life, and those that maybe haven't, I want to proclaim to you the name of the Lord this morning. He wants to be that to every one of us today. I hope we all believe that. That He wants to be that to every one of us. More than formality. More than, not to the exclusion of, but more than just what we believe. More than just what the Scriptures say. More than just the truth that we have heard and know. But God Himself wants to lead us into a place by Him where He reveals Himself to us. And as the psalmist said, He's all these things to me. He's my security. He's my fortress. He's everything to me. And you know, He'll win us and woo us by His love. Won't He this morning? I believe He will. I know He will this morning. Press through it. Beloved, and this is in 1 Peter 4. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. 1 Peter 4 and 12. Don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial. I'm trying to seek the Lord. Why am I going through these trials? Because, folks, we're in a battle. And the battle is very real. And if we're going to get close to the Lord, don't think Satan's not going to try to stop you. That's the truth. But the Lord wants us to draw close to Him and to know Him this morning. You know, I love these verses, and we mentioned it here a month ago, I know. but and mention it from time to time. It's very precious to me. James 5 and 16. James says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What is that? I wonder what is that effectual and fervent prayer that he's talking about here? There's something that avails much, that when this person prays, and that person can be any of us that know the Lord. Isn't that a blessing to know? It says, of a righteous man. And I want to encourage us this morning that we seek the Lord until we know that God is keeping us. Until He really has converted us and saved us and He's keeping us from sin. And you know, the Lord wants to do it. And then we have this opportunity to come into this secret place. And I believe that secret place, folks, is the Holy of Holies. That place of the Holy Spirit. That place where God dwells and all the world is shut out. And we come before Him. It says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. Now this is speaking of Elijah. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. You know, I wanted to just turn to that for a moment. That 1 Kings 18 and 41, we don't have a lot said about Elijah praying that it would not rain, but there is quite a bit said about him praying that it would rain at the end of 3.5 years. And it says here, listen to what Elijah knew the Lord. And verse 41 of 18, and he answered, I have not troubled Israel. No, let's see. 1 Kings. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, to a little mount there, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. And said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again. Now he did this 7 times. You know, Elijah came to the Lord because first of all, he knew the Lord. And he came believing that God was going to hear his prayer. You know, we can't make God do what we want, but he will hear our prayer. And so he came and he prayed 7 times, and it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down that the rain stop thee not. It's going to rain. You know what? Elijah was praying that it would rain. And he was looking for something to know. God's going to hear my prayer here, and He's going to change this situation. But how did Elijah pray? Did he go and command God and pray one time? Did he stand up and raise God? It's time for rain. He didn't do that, did he? But it says that he... How does it say that? He cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. He humbled himself before the Lord, calling upon God and looking to Him. Folks, I hope and pray that this morning, this doesn't seem like something that goes right over our head, that's for Elijah, that's for others. It's for every one of us this morning. And so as we follow the Lord and do His will, we cannot just simply pray and pray and pray and everything happen. But folks, we can seek the Lord. We can seek His will in our life. We can do His will. We can follow Him closely. and take those times to pray and seek Him, I believe we'll find this too. I believe we can say to the Lord, Lord, show me Your glory. And I believe He will. But it'll be at the expense of our flesh, because there isn't any flesh going to come into the presence of the Lord. And so, let's see, where was we? Where were we here? And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. You know, Philip wasn't the only one that it sounds like took a real special trip by the Spirit of the Lord. Here it says the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he ran before the chariot and beat him. You know, the hand of the Lord wants to be upon our lives. I just hope this morning we can just be inspired. Folks, we have to pray through the distractions. We have to pray through the worries. We have to pray through the temptations. Will the devil tempt you when you come to the place of prayer? Try to turn you back? Yes, he will. He will do that. He'll try to discourage you even while you're seeking the Lord. But you know what? There is an earnest and a fervent prayer and a faith in God that goes through those things until, folks, we find that place on the other side where the rain comes. We find that place where the Spirit of the Lord moves and works and comes upon us. And so this morning, just a few, I'm not quite done here. Luke 6 talks about, I'm not going to turn there, but Jesus went out into a mountain to pray. And it says, continued all night in prayer to God. Now you know, Jesus didn't pray every night all night. But folks, when it's time to pray all night, pray all night. That's when we find those special places. And many times when there's special things the Lord wants to do or needs to do, the Lord works with us, doesn't He? He burdens our heart. He draws us to Himself. And we pray and seek the Lord. You know, when Peter was in prison, it says prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Now, they had just killed James, hadn't they, not so long before. Now they had Peter. Going to kill him too. It was time to pray. And they prayed without ceasing. The church did. Collectively, they prayed. I want to read another place here in the Old Testament, because I think there's so much to gain from some of these places. In 2 Kings, the 19th chapter and the 14th verse, you know, Hezekiah was a man that he not only prayed, but he sought the Lord with all of his heart and he obeyed Him. Hezekiah came in and he set things in order, didn't he? He set things in order for the Lord. He put things like God said to put them and he obeyed the Lord. And then when it came time for him to have need, he knew where to turn to, didn't he? And God was there. And it says here, he got a letter, of course, we know, and we've heard this many times, all of us probably have. But, you know, Hezekiah received, it says, the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it, and Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And, you know, this wicked king was so intent on destroying them. Excuse me. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord. And I want to notice some similarities here between this and the Lord's Prayer. When they said, Lord, teach us to pray, and He began to teach them to pray. Let's notice how these men came to the Lord in prayer back here. It says, Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, Thou art the God, even Thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. How did Jesus tell us to come? He said, after this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You notice any similarity there? coming and acknowledging God for who He is, coming and worshiping Him, Lord. He says, even Thou alone, Thou art the God, even Thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Now, that's quite different than the whining, the disbelief that the children of Israel, after they were delivered from the hand of Pharaoh and they came up to the Red Sea, and then here comes Pharaoh's army and they start, oh, what are we going to do now? And, you know, at different times, let's go back. That's different, isn't it? But here we find somebody that never blinked. Lord, Thou art God, and Thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, Thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down Thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, Thine eyes and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, you know, then he says, give us this day our daily bread. After we acknowledge God in our life, after we acknowledge His greatness and grandness and thanksgiving to Him, then he says, "You say, give us this day our daily bread. Give us what we need. Lord, this is our needs today." He didn't tell us not to bring our needs, but just come to Him with faith. Come to Him with belief. Come to Him knowing, Lord, we are coming to the great God of heaven. And I need Your help. You see how Satan has said he's going to take me out. You see how Satan has said you can't make it. You can't make it to the end. You just as well give up now. You know what? The Lord says, come and acknowledge who God is. Don't think Satan won't say to you the same things that he said to the Lord or to anybody else. He will in our life. And so let's be aware of that. Let's be prepared for that. I'll resist him. Instead of like Eve agreeing with him, instead of like Eve, that's what God said. Yeah, God said this. Well, it's not so. Folks, major mistake for Eve, wasn't it? She never quit regretting that, I can tell you. Never quit. She couldn't have ever quit regretting that. Lord, bow down Thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, Thine eyes and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord, our God, I beseech Thee, save Thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that Thou art the Lord God, even Thou only. Isn't that something? Jesus finished up his prayer. He went on to say, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Kind of landed it up like Hezekiah did. You know, this morning, I just hope that we can be encouraged. Yes. Folks, be encouraged. Oh, how the Lord longs and wants for us to know Him. I found it to be so, and I know it's true. The Lord wants us to know Him. Are we going to be attacked? You better believe it, we're going to be attacked. Are we going to be attacked with sometimes confusion? You better believe it. Sometimes the battle's going to come and we're not going to know which way to go. And that's when we need God. And that's where we fly to Him. We call, we fall upon our faces before Him. Pray with submission, folks. Pray with importunity. There was a reason Jesus gave us the example of the loaves, the little parable. Which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say, friend, lend me three loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. This is Luke 11:5. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. Sometimes we're going to feel like that, aren't we? And I'm not saying this is the way it always is, because it's not. But folks, if we don't learn to fight through these times, we'll never have those blessed times too, where the Lord just draws near and we feel his presence drawing near. It's like, Lord. And he wants to speak to it. He wants to encourage us with a scripture, with a thought, with just the very knowledge that God is on the scene. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of this importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And the Lord's telling us there, don't just come and be done. Come until you get what you need in life. Now, we may not be able to ask for a new car and get it, but we can ask for grace in our souls. And we can ask for the Lord to carry us through. And we can ask for him to bless our lives. And we can ask for him to heal us. And most of the time, I believe he wants to do that. And there will come our time too. But you know, I've seen him do those things, folks. We don't come to him with great demands. We don't come to him whining with unbelief and unthankfulness, because we will get nothing. He does not feel like he needs to respond to our ungrateful behavior. But when we come in humility and without blame to ourselves or anybody else, Lord, I need help. Folks, I found God to be that way. He even says over there in James, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now that's not just wisdom. That's anything we need. We can come to the Lord like this. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. What's a wave? You ever been to the ocean? I have many times, and I have seen the waves. They mount up and they foam up and they go way up high and then they come down low. And then they go back up and they come back low. The Lord doesn't want us to be that way. One day we're praying to him, the next day we're doing it our way. One day we're looking to the Lord, the next day our faith just isn't there. We can't. But he wants us to believe, Lord, I know that thou art the great God of heaven. And I know that you have all that I need. And I'm going to find it by the grace of God. Let me see your glory. Let me experience your presence. Is that all right to ask the Lord that? Oh, don't we love that? There's nothing like the presence of the Lord, is there? There's nothing like his witness to our soul. There's nothing like the strength that he gives that amazes us. Somebody said, was it this morning, that the Lord had done more than their expectations? How often have we known that? Over and over, have we not? Over and over, the Lord exceeds expectations. So the Lord help us this morning, that we know him and that we find that place that is by him. That secret place that the world knows nothing of. They may scoff at God. Folks, that's they can do that. But I want to tell you something. They wouldn't scoff if they really knew the Lord. They wouldn't do that. The song says, called The Golden Key, prayer is the key on the bending knee to open the morn's first hours. See the incense rise to the starry skies like perfume from the flowers. Can we relate to that this morning? Like perfume from the flowers. That's the way our prayers are to the Lord. He loves that. It has a very fresh fragrance this morning. You all pray for me because I want to stand the test of life and I want to make it in one day. And the Lord help each one of us to make it in and to believe that God wants to draw us closer to Him. It doesn't mean we are discouraged with where we are. It means that we see that there are deeper places and the Lord wants to take us there. Lord, show me your glory. Lord, bring me close to you. Let me feel your presence. Let me hear your voice. Guide me in my life. And as we seek him like that, I believe he lets us know we'll be found. We'll find him. You pray for me.